This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 11 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from WDW Today, and with me on today's show is blogger, runner, and the number one user of K-tape among runners, Michelle Scribner-McLean.
Oh, very greetings, funny. Michelle. Very, very funny. Hi, Mike. How are you doing tonight?
Like I've said many times today, I'm right in the middle, but I think you're a little bit under the weather, but yeah. You're here and a real trooper, huh?
A little bit of an ear infection, not running related, but I'm doing okay. But I wanted to give a shout out to another listener, and this is Jeff Gardner. He's from Tonawanda, New York, and he posted on the Mickey Miles Facebook page that he just got into running and he wants Disney to be his first marathon. So we're there to cheer him on. So shout out to Jeff.
Shout out to Jeff. And how about a shout out to the owner of SockGeek.com, Capital City Running, and I hope he's at 100% today, Steve Bernhardt. Steve, how you doing?
I'm feeling terrific. Had a great long run yesterday, so my training's coming together really well, and I was a little sore yesterday, but I'm back on my feet today and raring to go.
That's great. Great to hear that. So we're excited and we're pretty pleased to have two very special guests with us on today's show. And they both bring a wealth of experience regarding the sport of running. I'm actually facing a dilemma in deciding just whom to introduce first. So I decided to let the alphabet help me out, and I'm going to do it alphabetically. Our first guest is well known among many runners, especially those who have experienced a Run Disney event. And when you go to the corrals and you find yourself shaking off those cobwebs from that 2 a.m. wake-up call, you need something or someone to perk you up. And nothing does that better, and no one does it better than the man who is affectionately called the voice of America's marathons, the voice of Run Disney, and you may have guessed who I'm talking about by now. None other than Mr. Rudy Novotny. Rudy, it's an honor and a pleasure to have you join us for today's show.
Hey, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be on, and loved any opportunity to talk about Disney or any running events. Absolutely fantastic.
We're looking forward to talking with you today. Our other special guest is without a doubt, one of the most beloved personalities in the sport of running. And whenever there is a signature running event, you'll see him sporting a very colorful running outfit. You can't miss him. You can't miss the microphone he's carrying. And you can't miss the sign that says on the air, not to mention the hat and plenty of sunscreen. He's the host of the number one running podcast. And someday, I'll bet, we'll be running a marathon outside the offices of Apple Computers. You may have guessed it by now. I'm talking about the host of the marathon show, Joe Terracani. Joe, it's great to have you on the show.
Wow, I love that intro, and I do belong right behind Rudy Novotny because he's so talented. He is the voice, and I am the noise.
That's one way to say it. Well, we decided to do a show topic on the differences between Run Disney events and non-Run Disney events, and these two gentlemen were at the very top of the list of those who we felt could really bring the as much content as possible regarding this topic. They both, Rudy and Joe, travel around the country. They've been to all the signature running events, and they've seen how race directors differ in all areas. So we're going to have a roundtable discussion on the show today, and we're going to talk about the differences between Run Disney and non-Run Disney events whenever we can. So Michelle, I'm going to turn it over to you first to give us the first area of discussion.
Oh, thank you, Mike. Oh, it's such a pleasure to have you guys on the show. Thank you so much. The first thing I wanted to ask about, because you've been around and traveled to all these races, is one aspect of Disney races that I really like, which is the expos. And I was wondering if you've seen, how does a Disney expo differ from other expos around the country? Are they different? Are they bigger? Are they smaller? Are they more organized? What do you think? Rudy, what do you think first?
Well, you know, Disney expos are absolutely world-class shopping experiences and display experiences, without a doubt. Now, I've been in the running community a few years previous to my announcing career, so I've seen expos go from athletic garage sales, where we were, you know, basically, and people were getting rid of last year's 2 year, 3 year old gear, to now with organizations like Disney organizing these, bringing speakers into, you know, the series and making them displays of the latest high tech gear, services, anything running and fitness related, that they've really raised the bar with the expo experience, and do, you know, they take the same level of detail and attention to their expos as they do creating that the whole running experience. Would you agree with that, Joe?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the one thing about Disney is the expo is a congregation place, unlike most other races that I go to, is that you go there, you do your shopping, and then you stay there, and you're happy to stay there because there's so much going on around you with the speakers and all the people that are coming and going. And they make it welcoming there also at the expos. And I've commented on this many times, but little things like actually having water out. They have, you know, water tables out. You go get yourself a glass of water, which we all need before a race, and places to sit. When the speakers aren't talking, you can go sit down, get a load off. And most expos don't do that. You're on your feet the whole time. So Disney creates this welcoming environment. They bring people in, and people tend to stay longer and, I'm sure, spend more money there.
You're absolutely right. I never thought of it. It has turned into a social event when you go to, I mean, you feel comfortable chatting with the vendors, but also you're running into other runners, and it is very comfortable. And I agree, Rudy, that it does have a level of detail that you kind of would expect from Disney. That's great. Thank you.
Well, Michelle, I'd like to...
social event, when Joe's on the floor, he brings in another 1,000 people just to come
see
Joe.
That's true.
I have a question for Steve. Steve, is there a, for the Western States 100, there must be some pretty cool expo that's going on for that?
Well, you know, it's actually kind of limited. I mean, because it's only 400 people in the race. But some of the key sponsors do come out, like Injinji and Goo and a couple of others. So it's not a really, you know, a large kind of expo, like anything like you would experience it. And that's in the case of most trail, you know, ultra running. Just the events are just so small that they really just don't support, having the vendors come out. But I guess maybe one comment I've got on the expos is, you know, if you do enough of these things and you travel around the country, you start to get to know a lot of these vendors. So when I come down to something like Disney, it's like old home week. You'll go down there and you'll see the Gathers family from Features or the guys from Wright Sock or whatever. And I'm sure you guys that travel around the country to a lot of these expos see a lot of the same faces and get to know a lot of people.
I see Joe and everyone. Joe's the face I always see. Okay, Mike, I know you had a question about courses.
Well, you know, it's funny because when you look at all the races and it's becoming such a popular sport, half marathons, real popular distance, marathons, of course, and the draw for a race is usually one of the draws is the course itself. When I started training for long distance races back in the day, there was a race called Casco Bay Marathon, which ran along the coast of Maine. And it just seemed like, gee, the running along the coast of Maine in September just seemed like a very cool thing. And it made me think that there are races, courses today that are built to draw runners. And I was going to ask, I'll start with Joe first. Joe, you know, you travel around the country and you go to all these races. Have you ever thought about which courses have some kind of a unique characteristic that makes them makes that characteristic a real draw for the runners?
You know, every course, like golf courses, golf courses have things called a signature hole, and every course has something signature related. There's something special about it. And at the end of the day, it just gets to be which course has more signature things about it. And you mentioned Disney and the Walt Disney World Marathon. The thing that's amazing about that particular race Of course, it's all within the property, so that's very special. And you get to go through this park and all that. But there are parts of the course where it's kind of lonely out there. Hmm. But Disney even takes care of that. They bring out animals, or they set up characters with a grave on the side. I mean,
you're not talking just people dressed up as animals or the runners. You're talking actual animals, yeah.
Right, you got like these animals are out there with the animal handlers.
Kingdom, yeah.
And so you're not going to go very far before you see something else, let alone be in the park or the characters or talent or whatever the case may be. But Disney is remarkable in that regard, in particular the Walt Disney World Marathon and Half Marathon. Just a remarkable thing. But every marathon course has something very special to it. Race directors work really hard to try to make the course memorable and interesting and exciting and somewhat generous and challenging.
Yeah, yeah. Rudy, any thoughts about the course designs and what you've seen over the years?
Well, you know, actually, I think Joe's response, and I like what Joe said about signature. I think that's really spot on. And as difficult as it is, I believe that all the race directors do try to, you know, create that wow factor in their course somehow. Now, of course, some have things that are built into the courses that just provide for that. I know, Mike, when we've talked before, I've expressed my love for Big Sur.
Yes.
Because you just spend 26.2 miles looking out at nature going, wow, wow, wow. And and there's the Niagara Marathon where you've got the falls in the, you know that the finish line is over at the falls. And what Disney's done, just as Joe had said, is to create that wow moment pretty much, you know, from the start to the finish and create an experience like none other, and they've carried the Disney culture and all the things that we've come to know as young children that are such an amazing part of the Disney experience into an athletic event. And they've done it in, I don't know if it would be totally fair to say seamless way, but it just, everything seems to fit just perfectly. And people have come to expect more Disney every mile.
That's
and,
true.
I don't think I could improve on Joe's statement about signatures. And you know, you got the Marine Corps, and you've got Washington D.C. and all the monuments. I think that's really a spot on statement. We could go to New York and Chicago and just all over the United States, and I think that same theme goes from course to course or some other feature. Of course, rock and roll's got the music, no matter where it is. And again, I think each race director is working very, very hard on creating an amazing experience for the runners.
Yeah, and I think, you know what, I keep hearing when I'm hearing you say that, Rudy, I keep thinking what we're talking about is that we're talking about every race having its own personality. And I think that's where that signature characteristic comes in. And I think that's
absolutely.
That's a very, very important thing to keep in mind. Okay, Michelle, I think you have something that you want to talk about regarding differences in races.
Sure. This actually goes along very nicely with the last question because we were talking about the different courses. And I have to admit that I've done several races up here in the Northeast, but most of my races have been Disney. And I start to compare when I do races around here about the way the races run, the little things that Disney does. So aside from the race course, I was wondering, Rudy, if you could tell me what you've seen in terms of how Disney runs the races, you know, everything from, you know, the way that they get the runners ready and do bag check and those little things. I don't know if you get to see any of those from where you are.
You know, my perspective is a little distorted. So I'm going to defer to Joe on a number of these things because he's in there looking at some more of the minutia than I'm able to. Either that or I'm so busy trying to find a nap on Walt Disney World Marathon weekend.
How about race start? Because we know that you're at the race start. Is that different from other races that you do?
I am. Well, you know, it's a matter of, in many cases, following best practices. And John Hughes, the race director, has been, you know, working with Disney for so many years, and Mike Bone here in California with Disneyland and the Run Disney group here on the West Coast, that really is following a lot of the, you know, best found practices across the country, using corrals effectively, and using the latest technology via BTAG, DTAG, and really just looking to continually improve the experience through technology and best practices. So I have to say, you know, that's what I see happening. Certainly when you hit something as big as Walt Disney World Marathon in January, that just requires not only those best practices, but maybe a little patience on everybody's part, because that is going to be one big, bad, seriously amazing weekend.
That's great. Joe, what
do you say bad? That's positive bad.
Like bad.
Yeah, bad.
Joe, what are your thoughts about this?
I comment about this all the time, and people think it's silly, but I think it's absolutely remarkable, is that in the 2012 Walt Disney World Marathon, they served up bananas that were perfectly yellow.
And that's a big thing of yours. I've heard you mention that.
I'm talking about 100,000 bananas, and every one of them was like, it was just perfectly yellow. And I will never forget that, because if you've ever been in a race and you go up and somebody gives you a green banana, it's just awful.
Yeah.
It messes
that's the
up
last
your
thing
system.
You want.
Yeah, gastrointestinal, whatever going on. You know, the other thing about Disney that's just it's just crazy is the fans. You know, you go to a lot of races, and there's some crowds out there. But you know, with the Disney event, especially the last mile, when many runners need it the most, there are so many people out there. It's just extraordinary. And you come down there, and you're 400 yards. Like, you get far enough down there, you can see Rudy down there. You see, you're calling people in. But you're looking to the right and you're looking to the left, and you feel like a superstar going down into there. And there's just nothing better than you just went 26 miles, and there's people out there cheering you on, and they're really happy for you.
And cast members, too.
Cast members, yeah. The whole bit. So, and then the other thing, and Rudy mentioned this, and this is never lost on me, but the corral system that they employ at Disney and the way that they move the crowds into the corral is – it's got to be the best. When people are coming out of the corrals, and this has got something to do with Disney, because maybe there's not as many crazy runners in there, but I see less people getting run over at the start. I see less people kind of barreling out and trying to get to the front. It's just very different. It's a very different starting experience, which makes for a great start and sets up for a fantastic day.
Oh, that's great. Thank you.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. The starts are more relaxed because of the whole the factor that you have upwards of 35% of the participants in many of the Disney events running their first distance event, their first half marathon,
yes,
or marathon.
Wow.
Everybody's just a little more. They're a little more laid back, and they know, hey, we're not starting for 30 minutes. Go meet somebody and just enjoy everything that's going on.
Yeah, lots of smiles on the faces at the start line there. I agree. Mike, did you want to add something?
Well, yeah, I just wanted to add one more thing about this. I think it's something that I know I tend to forget from time to time, but I really, you know, I don't want to say anything derogatory about any other race other than non-Disney, but I just have just an amazing amount of admiration for the volunteer work that takes place during a Run Disney event. I mean, there are always volunteers everywhere. They're almost falling over each other. There are so many, and it's just you think about what you do when you're running 13, 26 miles, and you sometimes take those volunteers for granted, but I just have to say that I am always overwhelmed when I run and I think, oh my God, there's another person, isn't? And they're cheering us on, like Joe says, and they're there with the water, and they're there for anything we need. And I just want to, you know, give a little shout out to them.
You know, Mike, I couldn't agree with you more about the importance of the volunteers and all those people that give up their time, not just on race day, but days and even weeks before the event happens. And to the positive, I think over the last year, what I've seen is people really and truly starting to appreciate, and perhaps it's because they understand how important the volunteers are. I think the volunteers, maybe like our military over the last few years, are finally starting to get the respect and appreciation that they really deserve. Because as you all know, and as the runners come to know through experience, if we don't have those volunteers out there, these races just will not happen.
There's no race,
Yeah, I've run in races with very few, and it's a big difference in the quality of the experience for the runners. It's very much, very much. And it's that's funny because this is a good time to go and transition into our final question, because we're kind of getting personal here, and I want to turn to Joe first. And I'd like to hear, Joe, I mean, you've gone to, and we've said this. I listen to your show, and I listen to when you're at the races, and when I'm on a training run, and I listen to when you're running a race, a marathon or whatever, and you talk to people at the expos, you talk to people before the race, during the race, and at the end of the race. And we've always heard you say, and a lot of us think, always hear this, and we tell people this, when you cross that finish line, your life will never be the same. So I want to ask you, Joe, what do you see before a race begins? You know, when you talk to people, what do you see in their eyes? What's the most memorable reaction you've had or you've experienced when talking to someone that you've interviewed on the show for a race?
Well, you know, I think that the one thing about talking to people before the race is that everybody has just busted their butt to get there. And it doesn't matter whether you run a lot, because if you're running a lot of races, then you're still working, you know, you're working to get there. But the expo is this great celebration when we're all going to be together, because after the race, you know, it gets kind of busy and you never know if you're going to see your people, and people could run 3 or 4 hours apart. And so things come apart. So the expo is a time when you get a chance to talk to people, and there's a lot of hope and there's a lot of excitement. Nobody's sore. Everybody's happy. But for me, and this is what makes doing the show so easy, is I could sit around and listen to people tell their story about earning that start line and then the promise of getting that finish line. I could listen to that all day long. I could listen to the stories. I don't know why, because I'm not really very attentive like that. But in this particular case, hearing people talk about what they do to get there and what they've done to earn it, and then how that finish line really affects them, because it is a very emotional journey to earn it all by yourself, to go through all the training, and then to go across that finish line and realize that you have just run into history. And that is awesome. And I mean that when you say run into history, because if you've never been an athlete before and you've never had your name etched on a wall anywhere, if you run a marathon or a half marathon, your name just got etched on a wall and it's out there forever. And so you have run into history, and that's a very powerful feeling for an awful lot of people, and it is a life-changing experience.
It certainly is. And Rudy, you know, you and I have talked about people you have talked to and met at races, and you know, you're up there on that platform, and you're looking at all the faces of everyone at the start, and you also see them when they come in. And what do you see?
You know, Mike, I love the way Joe framed, you know, what is the finish line. And truly, and I've actually written a piece on it many, many years ago, more than I'd care to admit, but the finish line is one of the most amazing, and the finish line specifically of an endurance event, and I'm going to even, you know, bracket it a little more than just endurance, but, you know, 13.1 miles, 26.2 miles, we can, you know, long triathlons, anything where people really have to give that extra and put that training in. The finish line is like no other place in the world. You see every conceivable emotion is played out at the finish line. I see tears. I see smiles. I see disappointment. I see anger. You miss that Boston qualifier by 10, 15 seconds, You can be angry. That's okay. But you see that all played out, and I see it again and again. And I'm honored to be able to share those experiences, most of which are completely joyful. The first-time marathoner, the first-time half-marathoner. I mean, as far as the finish line, we don't have enough time in this show because right. I could just, you know, go on infinitum. The finish line is truly one of the most powerful geographic locations in the world on race day, because it's just everything culminates. And the stories, the ones we know about and the ones we don't know about.
Right.
The victory over disease, over divorce, over loneliness, over weight problems, over just anything, smoking cessation. We could just, you know, we could hit 100 things without hitting the same one twice. And these people are celebrating victories again and again and again. And this includes some of the long distance crazies that Joe and I know that, you know, are running 30, 40, 50 marathons and more a year, and we love them as much, and they celebrate just like everybody else, and it means as much to them each individual event. So it's just the most amazing place in the world.
Rudy, one year I got to be at the finish line of the Boston Marathon in the grandstand, and I've never been at a finish line of a Disney race because I'm usually running, but one of the things I noticed were strangers helping each other across the finish line and people kind of cheering each other on at the end, just complete strangers. Do you see that too at Disney races?
Oh, absolutely. What you're seeing is you're seeing new friendships that you won't notice as a spectator because they look like they've known each other for 20 years. And what they've known each other is for 20 miles. And you're sharing that struggle, you know, and you have that common cause. And absolutely, we see people picking each other up physically, emotionally, throughout all these events. You know, so many first-timers, so many people just looking to maybe cross something off the bucket list. But, you know, we're all in that struggle together and celebrating it together at the finish line.
That's great. Thank you.
Pretty awesome. This has been great. Before we sign off and wrap it up, Steve, I'm going to turn to you. Do you have anything you'd like to ask Rudy or Joe before we let them go?
Well, I guess one question that kind of came to mind is very specific to the Disney Marathon. They were talking about the different highlights of the course and what Disney brings to a marathon with, you know, the different running through the Magic Kingdom or through studios, those types of things that are very, very unique to this type of event. I guess I'd like to ask both of them if they have any thoughts on this year's course modifications. We're going to run through the Speedway. We're going to run through Wide World of Sports this year. They're going to take that, my most unfavorite part of the course, at 20 mile, that out and back section out. I think Disney, you know, is making a little bit more Disney. So just got, maybe I'd get some of their thoughts if they've looked at what the course is going to look like this year and their thoughts on any of the changes.
You know, I had forgotten about that out and back until you just reminded me of that, Steve. I did forget about that. Yeah. You know, I was just out there recently for the Tower of Terror race, and we went through the sports complex, and that was an amazing experience. And I had not been over there before, and it just adds to the remarkable things that you get a chance to see. I think, the course is less interesting to me than the people that are there and how much fun they're having. The Disney brand is so powerful, and people love it so much. And then, of course, there's the Brazilians. And if you've never been there, you don't know this. There is. Brazil has got to be like the highest outside the United States country represented at this event. The Brazilians come in mass to this race, and I will be learning Portuguese before I go down this year. I promise you that.
And they run with their flags too.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, and they're singing and dancing, and I love that. And I can't wait for that. So, I just think, you know, I know that they're going to add the Speedway into it, and they're doing some other things to it. And they're getting, you know, it's a big deal, the 20th anniversary, and there's just no limit to the things that they're going to do to make it a very special race this year.
Yeah, I had the Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say that's a good point, Joe. I think actually the Run Disney course becomes the third biggest town and city in Brazil on race day.
I had the benefit a couple of years ago of running about 10 miles side by side with a gentleman who was sporting nothing more than a Speedo and his shoes from Brazil, and it was a interesting experience, I guess.
Yeah, well, this year is Steve, as you teed it up, it's just more Disney than ever before, and really really making the best and most possible use of the resources and providing people with sites that they had not had the opportunity to see before. And of course, it might seem pretty simplistic. Well, you've got all these great spots. Why not have runners just run through those areas? It takes incredible amounts of planning and resource to make any course modifications. So I applaud Disney on making these efforts and as you said, including the Speedway and the sports complex and everything that's going to bring it together this year. I know there's some incredible visuals out there along the course that I don't even believe have been published yet. So I'm going to back out from there. It's going to be bigger and better than ever. Great point about the 20th annual.
Michelle, do you have anything that you'd like to ask Steve?
No, I think I'm all set, but I just wanted to say that I think that you two have done so much for running and for Disney running. I know that I have spoken with dozens of people who really appreciate how generous and kind you are with your time, and you're both so enthusiastic, and every runner is equal in your eyes, and you stop and talk to people and get to know their story, and I just wanted to thank you both for doing that and for coming on the show, because it's just a real pleasure to call you two my friend.
Well, yeah, let me just say you're welcome, and I'm only have this great relationship with Disney because of Rudy. Rudy's been with Disney for a long time. They know him. He knows them. And it's just great to be able to go and see Rudy there. And he does make it a much better event because he's there calling it for us and making everybody happy.
Oh, my gosh. And of course, Michelle, as you know, none of that's true. Joe is totally earned his spot.
Totally true. Rudy and I just had our 2-year anniversary about a couple of months ago. We celebrated.
We did.
That's
for another show, you guys. That's for another show.
There you go. But I'll tell you what. With a lot of the things that maybe some of the running public don't get to see, but the team All Ears people. And the cheer squad and just everything that comes together on race weekend just make the Disney events just something that set themselves apart from anything I do the rest of the year. And for 2012, my race count is 52 events. So
I'm
traveling a bit and using my voice a little bit. But Disney, I thank Disney and all the folks connected for everything they do to increase the enjoyment of athletic opportunities for everybody.
And you're keeping the cough drop company in business, right?
Yeah. I think of you both as just incredible ambassadors to the sport of running. And along with Michelle, I want to thank you for all you've done. And with that, I'd like to, again, before we go, Joe, I'll turn to you first. What is on your schedule over the next several months?
Well, I got Marine Corps Marathon coming up in a few days, and I'm very excited about that because it's another homecoming for me. I used to live in Washington, D.C., and I used to live right on the course that we're going to be running, so I don't need a tour guide through that race. And then Santa Barbara Marathon a couple of weeks later. Still may add another race or two before the end of the year, and then, of course, January kicks off in a flurry with, I think there's 3 or 4 marathons in January that are going to make it for the beginning of a very fun year.
Wow. Mr. Novotny, I think I know where you're going to be in November and January, but any other areas?
Yeah, I just follow Joe around. You know, that's what I like. Of course, we've got Wine and Dine. I've got a triathlon in Catalina. We've got Holiday Half Marathon coming up in the Pomona area. And, of course, Big Sur Half Marathon in a couple weeks. Absolutely fantastic on Monterey Bay. And then into January with the Carlsbad Marathon, Disney World Marathon, Princess, Tinkerbell, just a few things, Mike. Just a couple races.
Yeah, yeah. Hope to see you at all of them, or most of them. So, again, we want to just thank both of you for coming on the show and being just great ambassadors and for your service to the running community. And again, Rudy, it's not a Run Disney event without you. And I know we'll see you at Wine and Dine. And Joe, just want to remind you that I never leave home without you. I take you on my training runs. And I'll be listen, I'm going to be the first to nudge you and say yes. Start doing two shows a week.
Yeah. You're awesome, Mike. Thank you so much for making time and letting us come on and chat with the audience today.
Thank you both. And that will do it for this episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. So for Steve Bernhardt, Michelle Scribner-McLean, the voice of America's Marathons, Rudy Novotny, and last but certainly not least, the voice of the Marathon Show, Joe Terracani, this is Mike Scopa saying, we'll see you on the road.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com, and we'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road. Come da fa capire chi ti va bene, se tu la parla miezza americano, quando si fa l'amore sotto la luna, come da bene in capo di I love you, papà l'americano.